Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello and Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Kedushin Daf Samach. We are holding on Tes Amud Beis, at the third line off the bottom of the Amud. Amar Abayi, Ulatamei de Rav. In accordance with Rav's approach to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we had a case where a fellow gave Kiddushin with the following stipulation. May Achshav, it starts now, and then he added something cryptic. Until 30 days are up. What did he mean? Rav says, well, actually, this generates major confusion as to his intentions. It could mean Tanai, condition. So really he wants the condition to begin now, but he's unsure. He wants to give it some thought, and basically it's conditional upon his approval at the end of that 30-day period. But if he indeed confirms it then, so the condition is chal lemafreya. It's activated retroactively from today, from day one. It's just a tnai, it's a condition on the deal. So ultimately, if it's successful, it was really activated today on day one. Or maybe he's really doing a chazor, change of heart. He's changing the terms of the deal. Instead of starting the kedushin now, he's really starting it only in 30 days. In which case, if somebody else comes and is mekadosher within that 30-day period, she belongs to the second person, not to the first. But if it's conditional, if it's a tanai, then ultimately, if he approves it, after 30 days, the Kedushin was chal when? Back on day one. So the second fellow is a non-entity. That was yesterday's daf. Amar Abayi, Tamei de Rav. Let's take Rav a step further. What happens in this very confusing case, where it's not only two people, you even have three people involved? Ba'echad v'amar lo, areyat mekudesh esli ma'achshav v'la'achar shloishim yoyim. Reuven says, look, from now till 30. Shimon walks over and he says, you've been kiddush to me starting today, ula'achar esrim yom, until 20 days. Uba'achar, and yet a third fellow, Levi, walks over and he says, v'amar la'arei mekudesh esli me'achshav, the kiddush to me is starting now, ula'achar asar yomim, till after 10 days. So what's going to happen? We're not sure regarding all these expressions. Is it a tanai? Is it a chazorah? So what happens? Says Abaye, may rishon umay achron tzricha get. Because of this uncertainty, she needs a get from Reuven and from Levi. That's it. May emtzai ena tzricha get, but no need to have a get from Shimon. And the Gemara explains, manav shach, because either way she's covered. Itno haboy. If this type of stipulation indicates condition tanai, so who's the winner? Let's think. Reuven said, you mekudesh to me starting right now if I approve it in 30 days. So ultimately, when he proves it in 30 days, he's the winner, which knocks everybody else out because he preceded everybody else's kedushin. If we treat it like a tanai, the kamok kedushin, so Reuven's kedushin is the valid one, the first, the kama, the first fellow, the hanoch lav kedushi, as opposed to the other fellows, whose kedushin is not valid because they followed Reuven's kedushin. So that would be reason to have a get from Reuven. On the other hand, ichazor avoy, if we treat this stipulation as a change of terms, so who's the ultimate winner? Let's think. Reuven had said, no, I only want it in 30 days. Shimon approached her, I only want it in 20 days. Levi's the winner because he says he wants her in 10 days. So ultimately, the kedushin, which will be applied in 10 days, will precede the 20-day fellow and the 30-day fellow. So the last fellow is her husband and needs to give her a get. Ichazor avoy, if we treat it as a chazor, as a change of terms, the basra kedushi, so the last fellow's kedushin is valid, the Hanoch, Lav Kedushi, as opposed to Reuven and Shimon. Well, obviously, Pshita, why does Abai have to go into this whole confusing situation? It's pretty much based on the same concepts and principles that we learned yesterday. Anything new in this case? Yep, Mal de Tema, perhaps I would say. You need more than two divorces. More than two gittin. Even Shimon, the middle fellow, has to give her a divorce. Hai Lishna, you know, this type of stipulation, you know, by one person, it's perhaps a tanai. By the other person, perhaps it's chazara. There's no uniform definition. Hai Lishna mashma tano, mashma chazara. So perhaps it's not clear cut, one way or the other. In which case, all you need to address is Reuven's and Levi's kedushin, as we explained. No, perhaps, maybe Reuven, when he said this lashon, he meant chazara. Okay, no, I only want you 30 days. So he's out of the picture because he's going to be the last one. But Shimon, when he said me'achshav ul'achar esrim, he meant it tonight. And in fact, when day 20 arrives and he's okay with the kiddushin, that's a confirmation retroactively. So he's the winner. So he should also have to give a get. So perhaps this type of expression can have different meanings with respect to different people. And therefore, every one of these fellows have to give her a get to cover all possibilities. Kmashmon the chiddushes. No. It has universal definition, either chazaro or tonight. We're not sure, but it's one of the two. And whatever it is, it applies to all three men equally, in which case all you need is a get from number one and a get for number three. Because if it's tonight, then number one wins. If it's chazaro, then number three wins, but number two has no say in the matter, regardless. Ula amar Rabbi Yochanan. Here comes another approach to the whole sugya. He holds that when you say mi'achshav al'achar shloshim, it sort of starts now and culminates later. It's not one or the other. It's not either now if it's a tanai or then if it's a chazara. It's somewhere in the middle. And therefore, in our case, we have 3 or 10 or 100 people going sort of incrementally. All of them have some sort of hold in the isha, a partial kinyan, and they all have to give her a get. Ula amar b'yechon afilu me'yotev sinba. Even 100 fellows, one after the other, with this type of, system, you know, the first fellow said, from now, me'achshav l'achar me'ayim, and the other fellow said, from now to 99, etc., etc., you can have 100 people lined up, and they all have some sort of kiddushin at the isha, v'chein omar b'asim b'yechnon, the same idea, afilu me'yotev sinba. And the question is why? How? How does this work? How can we say that they all have some sort of partial kinyan? Amar later of Mirsharshia, what an interesting mush, listen to this. Amar later of Mirsharshia, Breder of Ami, Rav Asi. Az Berlach, you know what? Let me explain to you how this works. Tamad Rabbi Yechanan. Why is it that Rabbi Yechanan maintains that every one of these men have some sort of partial Kiddushin? Shavu Navshaya, because they consider themselves, they presented themselves with respect to the Kiddushin in the Isha, like, you know, when they deliver bricks or cinder blocks. Ki Shraga Delivin. You ever notice? They wouldn't, you know, pile them straight up side by side, because then the outer row would sort of peel away and fall off. They're not supporting, they need to support each other. So they have to be staggered, right? Here as well, they're all staggered, these men. Ki shraga the living, like the pile of bricks, of blocks. The chalchad v'chad, every one of these blocks are positioned in a manner that they sort of lean on each other. They're half on the brick below, half off, and they lean half on this one, half on, so they're sort of supporting each other. Kolchad v'chad rav chavrei shavak. So he leaves a half a block for the one next to him, and he leaves half of that next block for the fellow next to him, so they're sort of all leaning on, and they support each other. Here as well, interesting mashal. The 100 men, let's just pick the simple case of the three. First one said, la'achar shloish. Okay, so either way, you're only mine in 30 days. This next fellow said, Lachar Esrim, you're mine in 20 days. The third fellow said, Lachar Asara, in 10 days. So the third fellow sort of left room for the second fellow, because until 30 days are up, he's not in there. And the second fellow left some room for the first fellow, because he says, I'm only going to have her in 20 days. Until then, she's a... So each fellow did not claim a full kiddushin in the Isha. There is some sort of leftover. There's a tzad kiddushin for everybody. And therefore, they all have to give a get. Just read the Lashon Rashi. says Hachanami Kol Echad Motzo Mokim Zman Poner LeKedushin V'Tof Sukulin LaYisra. So basically, according to Rabbi Yochanan, yeah, the Kedushin will happen. He doesn't seem to have a shaila of what the fellow had in mind, whether it was a tnai or whether it was a chazor. I want you in 30 days. So the Kedushin starts now, but it's completed only in 30 days. That's what he meant. So he's leaving room. He's leaving her sort of available to the next person until 30 days. So the next person comes in and adds his Kedushin to the equation. But the second fellow didn't take her immediately. He only took her in 20 days. So that leaves room for the third fellow to come in. Well, I want her now. So they all sort of have a foothold in this Kedushin, and they're all considered partial husband. They all have to give a get. Interesting concept. So bottom line, we have three shitas, really, in this type of situation. We have Shmuel, yesterday, who says that it's really a tenai. When you say ma'achshav, l'achar shleishim, it's just a tenai. So in 30 days, she's mine from now, retroactively. Rav, well, we just had Rav, he wasn't sure. Is it a tenai? In which case, it's chal retroactively from day one, or is it a chazor, it's a change of terms, and it's chal only 30 days. And we have Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's sort of, until 30 days are up, it's sort of a partial condition, which actually allows others to come, put their foot in, and get involved. Okay, Masiv Rav Chanina. He's going to have a kasha on Rav Yechan. So Rav Yechan told us the halacha by Kiddushin. But on the flip side, it would work by Gerushin as well. For instance, we have a Mishnah. Me'ayoyim ula'achar misa. Again, this type of confusing expression. Here's your get starting today, ula'achar misa. Get v'ni get. We deal with it like a suffix get. We're not sure whether, you know, the get started today or whether it only happens after his death, in which case it's invalid. You can't give a get after death. So we're not sure. And if he died without kids, so this Isha is a suffix. She's not sure whether she's a Yevama, right? So the brother who's trying to take over and do Yevam, he can't do Yevam. At most, he can do Chalitza, removal of the shoe, which is the other solution in lieu of Yevam. Right, because if she was really divorced and there's no room for Yivam, she was already out of the family by the time her husband dies. So we're not sure. We do Chalitz. Now let's analyze this Mishnah in view of these three Shittes in our sugya: Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Yechanan. Bishlem el Rav, Mesayele. According to Rav, this Mishnah is bullseye, perfect, because Rav wasn't sure whether these types of expressions are, you know, just conditions. In which case, if the condition happens, the procedure was activated retroactively. In this case, she was Megureshes, when in fact he died later. Or shall we say it's a Chazora, he's changing his mind. Instead of having to get applied today, it's going to apply only after his death, in which case it doesn't work. So we're not sure, so we sort of do the middle route, we do the Chalitza. L'shmol nami, hamani rabarni. And even according to Shmuel, who says, typically it's just a Tnai, in which case, when ultimately he dies, the get should really happen retroactively. During his lifetime, we treat it as a get, and really, she's divorced, and she doesn't need Kiddushin. Well, this Mishnah is following Shittas Rabbanon, who are not sure how to deal with this expression. Vananda Amri Ki Rebbe, if you remember yesterday, Shmuel told us he was going with Rebbe's Shita, that it's always a Tanai. But this Mishnah is Rabbanon, there's a suffix, and we deal with it accordingly. Elo, here comes the punchline. Elo Rabbi Yechanan, who just told us, the third Shita, who just told us, the Amar Shiyura Havi, that when you prolong the procedure, it sort of, you know, it makes an incomplete procedure. Shiura havi. It's not that we're not sure how to deal with it. The process starts now, but it's not concluded and confirmed until later. So it's sort of a partial gerushin until he dies. Damar shiura havi. Kol gita de mishayir ba v'loi klum hu. So that's very nice by Kiddushin. You know, you can Kaddish Isha starting today and, you know, finish it in 30 days and, you know, the whole explanation we gave before. But by get, you know, a get is get krisis. It must be an absolute. It must be provided as a get krisis is a full, complete, unequivocal separation. So a get, which is a partial get, which hasn't really, you know, gotten to the point yet, there was no conclusion on the process, that's not a get. By a get, it's all or nothing. Kol gita de mishayir bo v'loy klumu. So bottom line, when he says, Mayoy melachar misa, it's nothing. It's worthless. So she's really his wife. And when he dies, what is she? A yevumi miyavim. She should have yevum. Why did the Mishnah say only chalitza? So you have two approaches, Rava and Abaye. Omer Rava, you know, here she's completely divorced. You know why? Get lohitzi umisa lohitzi. There are two ways for an isha to leave a marriage: divorce and husband's death. So here both things happen. Ultimately, he also died, right? So that completes the process. Mashashir get, although the get wasn't yet a complete get at the time, but whatever's left over of that connection to her husband gets severed by the death of her husband. Gamrasa misa. So ultimately she's out of the picture and she's not really a yevama. I'm really Abaye. So Abaye says like this. It's not going to work in this case because here we're speaking in a yevam context, right? And actually, death of her husband triggers the chi of yevam. So basically, they're going in two directions. Me dummy, how could you compare the two methods of leaving marriage? Get mitziyam rishus yevam. Sure. She's really divorced. She detaches from the, connection to the yevam because once she's out of her husband's family before his death, there's no connection to the yevam, right? So that's going in one direction. Misa, on the other hand, husband's death typically brings her closer to yevam. That's the cause for yevam. Machnisol yevam. So if anything, his death will bring her closer to the yevam, will arouse the need for yevam. So you can't combine the two tracks. Get is sending her away, and really misa of her husband brings her closer to the yevam. So it can't serve as a completion. It can't serve as a hashlama, as a gemar, as a conclusion on that severance from her husband. If anything, it should bring it to the yavam. So you can't, join these two things together, and therefore we're back to the kasha. If the get was not a complete process at the time, so then it's worthless, and she's fully married, and she needs a full yavam. So why do we suffice with chalitza? Ella am Abayis. Abayis says, you're right. She's really divorced. She's really totally his wife. She's not divorced, and really, she should have yavam. Midrabbanan, we don't allow it because it can cause confusion with other cases. Elam Rabbi Yehoshua, sometime am I the reason for non-yivam? Gzera mishum hayomi mati. Because there's another case which is slightly similar but vastly different. Hayomi mati. Here's what you get from today, from now, on condition, if I die. That's clearly a condition. So if he dies, she's divorced from today, without any question marks. How is it get? So in that case, there's no yivam, there's no chalita, she's totally out of the picture. And therefore, in our case as well, ma'yoyim, im ula achar misa, which is a confusing expression, like you said before. So, it's so similar to this case here, ma'yoyim imati. So just like in this case, there's no yivam. In the other case, the first case, ma'yoyim ula achar misa, we don't allow yivam as well, even though it should apply in that case. But it's a gzera. Okay, so in both cases, we only apply chalitza. So in the case of Mayoy Mal Achar Misa, we apply a chalitza, even though we should do yivam, but because it's so similar to Mayoyim Imati, which is a total divorce, which doesn't have yivam or chalitza, because she's totally out of the picture. So on account of that case, we apply only chalitza to the Mayoyim Mal Achar Misa, because if we do yivam, it can lead to yivam in the case of Mayoyim Imati. So the bottom line is that in Mahayoyim Imati, it's a clear-cut condition, and she's totally divorced once she dies, because it's retroactive, and there's no yivam or chalitza. Asks the Gemara, one second, why does she get off the hook with nothing? V'nigzer Mahayoyim Imati, the tachlitz. Why doesn't she have chalitza in that case? Atu Mahayoyim Lachar Misa, because of confusion with the other case, which requires chalitza. Well, says the Gemara, that doesn't work. Imato Eimer Chaletzes, because if you're going to do chalitza in a case of the straight condition, it might lead to somebody saying, well, she's a yevama, look, she has chalitza, well, tomorrow they'll do yevam on a similar situation. Which, of course, is totally awesome because she's not a yevama. He gave her a full-fledged get on condition, and he died. The condition was fulfilled. It's a get. Well, Achanami says the Gemara saw in the first case, Umayoyim Ula Achar Misa, where it's not really a proper divorce. Why do we do Chalitza? The same problem could happen. She could end up getting Yivam one day. Because Chalitza and Yivam are sort of, you know, flip sides, right? Hachanami imato emir chaylatzes misyavemes. Says, well, what's the worst thing that will happen in that case? Tisyavim, embekachlum, nishkeferluch, embekachlum. It's not so terrible. Chashashad the rabbanon, because ultimately, in the case of mehayom lacharmisa, in that first case, it's not really a get, like we explained. So it's really, she's a widow, she's an almana, and now she's a yivama that really needs yivam. We don't want to apply Yivam because it might lead to applying Yivam in other cases, similar cases where she doesn't deserve Yivam. So we stick with Chalitza, but at worst case, if she ends up going to Yivam, it's fine. So that's why we do Chalitza there. But as opposed to the case of Mehayoyim Immati, which is a clear-cut condition. Here's your get today. If I die and he died, she's out of there. So there we don't want to do anything. Because in case we do Chalitza, it might lead to Yivam, which of course is totally inappropriate because she was divorced. She's not a Yivam. Okay, so bottom line, one is Mekadesh and Isha. Me'achshav al-achar shleishim yoyim. We have several opinions. Is it a suffix? Is it a tenai? Or kontra b'yechanon? It's a shear. There's some leftover. Something left over in the process. It's not a complete process, which allows for others to step in and create confusion. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'imr li'isha reit mekadeshesli. He tells her, look, this is your condition. Al menash etin lach ma'asayim zuz, on condition that I add another $200 to the deal. Harizim Kodesh is Vuyite. The Kedushin takes effect and he has to keep his deal. Amarasha etanach mekan velamadyoim. On condition that I pay you within 30 days. Okay, so if he kept his word, fine. Nasan labatach shleishim mekodesh. Otherwise, if he delayed past 30, ainim kodesh. It doesn't work. Amarasha yeshli mesayim zuz. Here is the ring. You're my wife. On condition that I own 200 zuz. Okay, harizim kodesh, it's v'yeshloi. So the condition only happens if, in fact, he owns that type of money. Amanasha erech masayim zuz. He uses an interesting expression. Here's your condition. On condition that I'll show you 200 zuz. Harizim kodesh, v'yarela. So it's only a condition if he shows it to her. His own money. V'mhera ala shulchan enu kodesh. But if he walks over to the table where he changes his money, you know, his business, and he shows her some money there, which is not really his, it doesn't work because he meant his own money. So in the first case, he was Mekadesher on condition that he gives her 200 zuz. Question is, when is the condition activated? Immediately, on condition that he gives her the money later on, or do we wait? Is there a delay on the condition until he actually gives it to her? It's pending until he gives it to her. Machlekes Amoraim, Itmar. We had the same Machlekes in Gittin, if you remember. Rav Huna Amar Vuhiyitin. The condition is chal right away. Right? He'll give it to her later. And Rashi explains that it's just a condition. So basically, when he gives it to her later, it's chal lemafreya, retroactively from the time of condition. Now, of course, if he passes away before he gives her the money, it doesn't work. But you don't have to wait until he gives her the money. The condition is chal now, hoping that he'll give her the money later, in which case it gets confirmed retroactively. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. It's a pending kiddushin. It only happens when he pays her the money. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Likisha Yitin. Explains the Gemara. Rav Huna Amar Behu Yitin. He should pay her later. Tino Havi. It's like any other condition. Mekayim Tino Hav Azal. You know, he keeps his condition later on. That's fine. And it is chal retroactively. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Likisha Yitin. It waits until he pays. L'chi Yoiv Hav a kiddushin. Hashtamiya, well, you have a kedushin. It only happens later and not today. Might be, what's the halachic difference between the two shittos? All agree he has to give her the money. So what's the difference? It could be a big difference. Shepashta yoda v'kibla kedushin me'achar. Suppose she goes over to another fellow and accepts kedushin before the first fellow actually paid out his deal. L'rafuna lava kedushin. So according to Rav Huna, the first fellow, Reuven, is the winner because ultimately when he pays it out, his kedushin gets activated retroactively from Sunday. So Shimon's Kedushin on Monday is worthless. The Rav Yehuda have a Kedushin. According to Rav Yehuda, Reuven's Kedushin was pending upon his payment on Tuesday. So when Shimon comes and has Mekadesher outright on Monday, he's the winner. Oh, we have the same discussion by Gittin. A get that was issued on condition of this type of payment. Oh, in this case, he's asking her for money. Here's your get on condition you pay me 200 zuz. So the gerishin works on condition that she pays him. When is the gerishin applied? Same machlekes. It's Ravuna Amar v'hititain. It's applied immediately on condition that she pays him later. Ravida Amar l'kshatitain only applies when she actually pays him. Ravuna Amar v'hititain. She must pay him later. Tanahavi. It's like any other condition, right? And when you're making condition, Rashi explains, Kalaimer albanas, Kalaimer ma'akshav dami. When you say, look, I'm doing this on condition of this and that, it's like you say, ma'akshav. When you do this and that, it's chalim afreya. So the condition happens right away, assuming the payout happens later. Tanahavi, mekayim atanava asl. Rav Yehuda amar l'kishatite. No, the gerishin only happens when the payment is actually executed. L'chiyahivalei, when she gives them the money, huda havaget, then the get happens. Hash tamil havaget, until that happens, it's not a get. Might be now, once again, any difference in halacha between the two shittas, Rashi explains. Either way, she shouldn't get remarried until this deal is concluded because it might never come into fruition. So all agree, practically speaking, she must wait until the deal was fulfilled, but so there's no nafkamina. What is the difference between two shittas? Might be now. Iki benayu, there's a difference as follows. Sheniskariya get. In between issuing and payment, you know, the get disappeared. It was torn up, got lost. That's the nafkamina. Little Rav Huna, who says that ultimately when she pays up, the get happens retroactively from Sunday. So even if it got lost on Monday, it doesn't matter. Rav Huna have a get. Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Yehuda, the get is dependent upon that payment. So if it got lost in the middle, well, you have a get, it doesn't work. So we have the same discussion by Kiddushin as we have by Gittin. Why do we have to duplicate the same machlokes? Is there some chiddush in one that's not found by the other? Yes, there is, says the Gemara. It's rich, we have to discuss both scenarios, kiddushin and gerushin. The Ashmin and Abakiddushin, if we only discuss this machlokes by kiddushin, perhaps I would suggest that it's only by kiddushin. That Rav Huna says the kiddushin happens right away and is not really pending upon payment. Because he's coming to bring her nearer. So he's trying to get it going quicker. And he wants the Kedushin to happen now with this pruta that he gave her. And of course, he'll keep his deal later. But by Gerushin, where he's distancing her from him. So perhaps, you know, there's reason to think that he's going to procrastinate. He doesn't really want it to conclude until, you know, the deal is kept, thinking that perhaps in between they'll reconcile and cancel the Gerushin. So perhaps in that case, delay is beneficial, and he wants it. Perhaps he agrees to Rav Yehuda that we delay matters until the deal is actually fulfilled. That's why we discuss it by Gerushin as well. No, even there, Rav Huna sticks to his position. Immediate, effective immediately. And likewise, if we only discuss the case of Gerushin, perhaps I would suggest that it's only there that Rav Huna tells us that the Gerushin happens immediately, because this husband, or this ex-husband, he's not shameful, he doesn't care, he'll go after her and get the money from her. As opposed to Kedushin, where it's uncomfortable for the new wife to go after her husband to get his payment. So perhaps, all would agree to Rav Yehuda that the Kedushin only takes effect when he actually cashes in on the deal and he gives her the money, otherwise she's not really, willing to go into it. Tzricha, that's why we discuss it over here as well. No, the assumption is that the Kedushin happens right away, and of course he must keep his condition down the road. Meisvei, here comes a kasha from a brisa. Hareza giteich, almana, shetit nimasayim zuz. Here's your get, on condition that you pay me 200 zuz. Brisa says, the get no longer has to be around. Aval pishen eskeriya get, or she'ava, the get is lost, ripped up, hareza mugureshes. It's okay, she's totally divorced, of course, on condition that she pays him the money eventually. Of course, she shouldn't get married to another fellow until she pays her payment, because otherwise the condition will not have been kept. But in any case, you don't need the physical get to be present. Because once it's been given, the get is issued, that's a right to Rav Huna. That's effective immediately. Vaitani, we have another raya to the same point. Amarla, hareza gita chamna shetitni masayim zuz. Here's your get on condition you pay me 200 zuz. Umeis, he passed away. So what happens? Nosna, If she gave it to him successfully during his lifetime, ein zekuka liyavim, there's no need for yivim because she's divorced. Loi nasna, she hadn't paid him during his lifetime, she can't give it now to his, you know, son or relative, and she's considered an almana, zekuka liyavim, she needs yivim. That's a tanakama. Rabban Shimon, no, she still can pay it out by giving it to his relative, his yoyrish. No, he sent us la'achiv, or la'aviv, or la'achiv na'krevim, father, son, or another relative. So the point is just whether payment can be issued to a relative. Adkan le'pligi, the homachakis is only regarding this question. Eldamar savar livale liyoshai, Tanakama says, give it to me, is what he said, not my relatives. Umar savar, whereas the other shita says, afil liyoshai, relatives are also included in the deal. But it seems pretty clear that all agree. The kuli alma miyot tnahavi is just a condition. Because if the gerushin is awaiting payment, if it's pending, if it's not complete until she pays, in this case, he's gone, he passed away, there's no get. How can the braisa tell you otherwise? Tiyuta de Rav Yehuda, it's a kashan Rav Yehuda, who says that the get is not complete until payment is issued. That's a right to Rav Huna. Amalach Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda responds, Amalach Rav Yehuda, Hamani Rabbi. You're right. This price reflects Rebbe's shita. Dam Rav Huna, Amar Rebbe, Kolo Eimer Amonas, Ko'eme Machshav Dami. Rebbe's shita, universally, is that whenever you issue a condition, it's my Achshav. It's totally done now. Like, this get is totally effective now, on condition that the Tanai is fulfilled later. That's his shita. Upligi Rabban Aloy. But you should know it's really a Machlekes Tanoim. That's the way I understand. It's a Machlekes Tanoim. But no Dami Kira Rabban. And when I was promoting my view that the get is awaiting, it's pending, it's not complete until later, that's Rabban Shita, who disagrees with Rebbe. And when there's a Tanai, when there's an Almanas, the process is not complete until the condition is fulfilled. Whereas Rav Huna apparently holds that there's no machlekes. All agree, whenever you say almanas, it's effective immediately, assuming you keep the condition later. Gufa amar funa amar Rebbe, kolayim almanas, kolayim achshav dami. Okay, so that was Rebbe Shita. Amar Rebbe Zeira, you know, initially we thought it was a machlekes. Ki avina bebavel, when I lived, you know, way back, I lived in Bavel. Havar amina, I remember we used to say, we used to learn, that it's a machlekes. Ha'ad amar funa amar Rebbe, kolayim almanas. This statement of Rebbe is really subject to machlekes. Pligi Rabbanan Olei. Rabbanan disagree. They hold that whenever you make a condition, the process is not complete until the condition is fulfilled. That's what we figured. But it turned out to be a mistake. When I went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkele Rabbi Asi, I meet Rabbi Asi, Yosef, he was quoting Rabbi Yechonon, that it's universal. Hakol Moedim all agree, whenever you say, I'm doing this on condition of such and such, Ka'imim Achshav Dami, the process is effective immediately. The only machlekes is regarding some sort of peculiar case, which we actually mentioned in Amar Aleph, where there's a confusing expression. For instance, he gives her a get. He says, you know what's going to happen today? After I die, he's talking from two sides of his mouth. There we have a machlekes, where Rebbe would say, it works because it's just a tnai. It's really happening today on condition that I die. Whereas Chacham, I'm not sure that he means conditional, did he mean to change his mind? We're not sure. So that's a specific case. But generally speaking, he speaks straightforward and clear. You say, look, I'm doing this on condition such and such. The process starts immediately, assuming that he keeps the condition later. Vatanya, the question is, Vatanya, as we have a braisa, what we see at the machlekes between the shitas only pertains to that confusing expression, mayoy malachamisa. There we have the machlekes. Chacham say get when he get. It is, it isn't. We're not sure. Dibri Chacham, Rabbi Aymer, because a get, it is a get. But if it's just a plain condition, a straightforward condition, all agree, the get happens immediately. So that's Rav Zera's opinion, that's Rav Asi's opinion, Rav Yechon's opinion, and Rav Huna's opinion. But we have one dissenting view. That was Rav Yehuda. If you recall, Rav Yehuda told us before that really, every condition is subject to machlekes between Rebbe and the Chachamim. And he was going with the Chachamim. You have to wait until the condition is kept. His view was that even by a regular tanai, almanas, it is subject to machlekes between Rebbe, who says it happens immediately, and Rabbanan say it's pending. So the question is, Ad miflagi b'mahayom lachar misa. So why does this brisa, which cites both opinions, go into this peculiar case of mahayom lachar misa's confusing situation? It's the same machlekes applies to a straightforward case. Just speak straightforwardly. Niflagi b'ma'al manas. Here's the get on condition that I pay you the money. Does it happen right away or later? Machlekes Rabbi Rabbanan. Why discuss this funny case, this contradictory expression, and not a straightforward case? Answers the Gemara, L'diach HaKoicha the Rebbe. Really, the Machlekes between Rebbe and Chacham apply to all cases, even a regular tonight. But by bringing out this particular confusing situation, we are actually highlighting Rebbe's Shita. D'mayoyim l'achar misa nami harei zeh get. And even in this contradictory expression, we still see a get immediately, because we look at it like a tonight. He didn't mean today, and then he meant, if I die, it's chal today. So we specifically picked this case, which highlights Rebbe's Shita. It brings out his Shita stronger. Even in this case, it's a proper get immediately. Asks the Gemara, one second. V'niflagi, valmanas. But for the same money, the Brisa could have presented the Machlekes in a straightforward case of almanas. Here's the get on condition of such and such. And this brings out the Rabbanon Shita. Brings out the Rabbanon Shita. Even in a straightforward tonight, we have to wait until the tonight is kept. It doesn't happen right away. So bring out their opinion, which is actually stringent and machmer. It's always better to bring out the Shita, which is makel, which is lenient, which takes more sort of confidence. Rashi explains in Maseches Beitzet of Beizam and Beizet. It's making a stronger statement by highlighting the Shita, which is mater, such as in this case. We're bringing out that even in a case where it's contradictory and confusing, even there Rebbe says it works. But ultimately, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the same machlekes would apply by the regular tanai, and hence, Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation of our Mishnah and the Mishnah Kedushin and Gittin, in a way that the Ger or the Kedushin is sort of pending the fulfillment of the tanai, that Shitas Rabbanon, that whenever you say Almanaz, it's not Me'achshav, rather it's pending. Bottom line, what is Almanaz? Right? Here's the get almanas. Here's the condition almanas. According to Rav Huna, there's no machlekes. All agree almanas is kamei achshav. It's effective immediately. So if the get's gone, or in the case of a condition he passed, in the case of the condition, if she went and was a makabel condition from somebody else, in the meantime it doesn't work because the first condition was effective immediately, assuming the condition was fulfilled. Whereas according to Rav Yehuda, the process is not really completed until the tanai is fulfilled, in accordance with Shitas Rabbanan. And Rav Huna holds that there's no machlekes. All agree. Rabbi and Rabban all agree that Almanas is Me'ach. Okay, next case in the Mishnah. Almanas she'etan loch mekan v'ashleishim yayim. Here's the condition on condition that I give you the 200 zuz before 30 days. We insist on a timely payment. Because if it's after 30 days are up, it doesn't work. Pshita, well, obviously, he said so. Well, the time, perhaps I would think, love to know. Even though he said something about 30 days, it's not really binding. It's not a binding condition. Uzruze ka'amar. You know, it was just to get him going, right? For his reasons. But even if he delays, a couple of days, right, he was just trying to give her the feeling that he'll do it in a timely manner. Uzruzei ka'amar. She wanted him to say the 30-day stipulation in order to be mezaris him. Okay, but it's not binding. K'mashmon the chiddush says no, it's binding. He said 30; it has to be within 30 days. Amanash yesh l'masayim zuz. Okay, he says here's a condition. On condition, here's a condition. On condition that I have 200 zuz of my own money. Mishnah says, you have to verify. And if in fact you confirm with, with Edom or whatever that he has the money, it works. But otherwise, there's no condition. Now, suppose we don't have, positive confirmation that he has this type of wealth. But maybe he has it. We can't confirm that he doesn't. V'neichosh shemi yeshlei. There's always that chance that he has the money. So how can you just ignore the condition? Vaitanya, and we have the same in a braisa that we're concerned. Chashina shema yeshli. Even if you can't confirm it, there's still a chashash that he has the money. You're right. Loi kasha. The answer is haba kedusha vaday, haba kedusha safek. When the Mishnah says that it's only a kedushin if you know that he has the money, that's to make it a vada kedushin. But of course, even if it's unconfirmed, it's still a chance, a suffix that it's a kedushin. You can't just ignore it and you need a get. Amnash erach masayim zuz. Here's a kedushin. On condition, I'll show you 200 zuz. If he shows it to her, you know, on the bank, it doesn't work. Tana leniskavna ludus mishaloi, because she wanted to see his money. She wanted him as a wealthy man, not just to show her the money. So if he shows it to her on the table there, money that doesn't really belong to him, she's not mekudeshes. Pshita, well, obviously. The point is like this, that even if he has this it's not his money, but he took it on consignment. Right, somebody, you know, sort of gave him the money to do business with it. So perhaps that's considered somewhat his, because it's for his use to earn, you know, money with. So perhaps that's enough, that's sufficient to be considered his. No, the chiddush is, she meant his, literally his, and otherwise it's not a kedushin. Okay, so the next Mishnah pretty much continues on the same track. He gives her the kedushin al manash yeshli beis kur ofer, on condition that I own this huge plot of land. A beis kur is where you can plant 30 sa'ah. Rashi makes the calculation. Sa'ah is 50 by 50 amma. Okay, so 30 times that. Okay, al manash yeshli beis kur ofer. Harei zeh mekudesh es v'yeshli. So if he has that type of property, she's mekudesh. Al manash yeshli makom pleni, on condition that I have that type of property in this specific location. If it's there, okay. If I'm alive, otherwise, any mekadesh. I'm not sure erech beis kur ofer, on condition that I'll show you this type of property. So yeah, it's a mekadesh if he shows it to her, but it has to be his property. If he shows it to her in the valley, somebody else's field, that doesn't work. She meant his field. So Mishnah says, in the first case, if in fact he owns the type of land, it's mekadesh. Otherwise, it's not. V'nechosh shema yeshle. Same question as before. You know what, even if it's not confirmed, maybe he has. You never know where a person has property, so how can you just ignore the kedushin, assuming he doesn't have the money, the property? Vaitanya, chashin yeshama yeshlin. The Brisa clearly says that even if you can't confirm ownership, there's always a chance that he has it. You're right, loy kash, habu kedushi vade, to be certain that it's a kedushin, then you have to confirm that he owns. Habu kedushi safak, even if you can't confirm that he owns, you still have to be concerned that perhaps there is a kedushin and she needs a get. Now, why do we have to discuss the same case over and over? This point that when it's unconfirmed, you know, that it's a kedusha safek, seems to repeat itself. Once by the money in the first Mishnah, once by the land in the second Mishnah. What's the point of repeating it? Says the Gemara, there's a chiddush in either case. Tzricha. Di ashvin gabi zuzi. Because if we only mention it by the money in the previous case, and we say, well, even if we can't confirm that he has this type of wealth, we have to be concerned. Because it's commonplace for people to hide their wealth. So you never know. So it's a safek kedushin. Aval Arab, when it comes to owning land, that's talk of the town. Everybody knows what people own. Ema, perhaps there I would say, Eid Isla Arif, in fact he owns this type of property, call it Isla. Everybody knows about it. The fact that nobody's aware indicates non-ownership. Kamashmon comes to the mission and says, no, even if we're not sure, there's always a chance that he owns some hidden land someplace, and we have to be choshish for safek kiddush. In the next case, he specified location. If he has it in that place, fine, otherwise not. Pshita, of course, why mention this case? Again, maudatema, perhaps I would say, amrlo, mainafka lachmina. You know, he can respond to her by saying, look, I know I promised you, land in this place, but maybe it's, even if it's further away, what do you care? I know tarachna. You know, they say live off the land, right? I'll go and get my tractor and bring the produce back home. You don't have to go schlep. I'll do it for you. I know tarachna. My sina. I'll bring the crop over. So who cares if it's close by or further away? Kamashwan, the chiddush says no. He has to keep his word. Amna she'erach beis kur ofer, on condition that he shows her this type of property. Tana the Brisa explains. Leinus kavna zu ela liroiz mishalei. What she meant is to see his property, and therefore v'imera mibika and mukadesh. If he shows it to her out in the valley, and then it doesn't work because he's not owning it. Pshita, well, obviously, So it's the Gemara, Litzricha Danakat Bidistura. Rashi says Bidistura is Arisus. Suppose he doesn't actually own that land, but he's some sort of somehow associated with it. He's an Aris, a sharecropper. So perhaps that's considered enough connection, association, a sort of quasi-ownership, which can be considered fulfillment of his condition. The Chiddush is no. He said he owns. Unless he owns, it's not a Kiddush. Okay, so bottom line, we started with one sugya, moved on to the next sugya, and then to the next mishnah. So ultimately, we had the three shitas regarding a case of me'achshav al'achash le'ashem yayim. We had the shita of Rav. We're not sure whether it's a condition or it's a chazora. Therefore, we treat it as a suffix. We have the shita of Shmuel, who says that it's certainly a t'nai, and we have Rabbi Yechon, who says it's sort of a miktsas. It's a partial process, in which case all these individuals have to give her a get. We explained how this coincides with halachas of Yibam and Chalitza. We moved on to the next Mishnah, where he promised 200 zuz together with the Kedushin. That's a case of a t'nai. According to Rav Huna, Almanas is kame'achshav dami, and therefore the Kedushin is chal immediately, whether it's Kedushin, whether it's Gittin. And of course he has to complete the, fulfill his commitment, but it's chal l'mafrei retroactively. According to Rav Yehuda, it's a machlekes tanoim, and according to the Chachamim, the Kedushin and likewise the Gittin awaits fulfillment and confirmation pending the completion of the Tanai. And we have all kinds of expressions and promises that he owns, that he has, whether it's coins, whether it's property. In all cases, the Kedushin is dependent upon full fulfillment of his promises. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.